Sunday morning, we want to take a moment and look at Baptist history, and we have started a podcast series, and this is our eighth segment of the series of 50 Baptists You Should Know for our 50th anniversary. And this morning, we want to look at the great Irish missionary Patrick of Ireland. And I have we've been trying to be chronological in order as we went through Baptist history, but today I want to take a step back and because of St. Patrick's Day being celebrated last week, I wanted to talk about that man, Patrick of Ireland, since we just, the world honored his name on, was it Tuesday, I think? And so there are many things that the world thinks they know about St. Patrick, of whom St. Patrick's Day is named for. For centuries, the Roman Catholic Church has laid claim to that the Patrick of Ireland was Irish and that he was a Roman priest. Actually, he wasn't Irish, he was British. And about 200 years ago, historians, maybe they've known this for much longer, but historians began to make known the idea that that maybe many, many Baptists have known for centuries, and that is that Patrick was not a Catholic priest, but was rather a missionary who preached the Bible faithfully and practiced what we would now call Baptist beliefs. Because of this neglected material, we haven't... many people are shocked when they hear that. I thought I'd just take the time and talk about him this morning. Now, those churches back then, and he himself would not have referred to himself as a Baptist. I don't know. Maybe they did. We don't necessarily know that they did. But people that we refer to as Baptists during that time in these churches, we do know there were churches like ours that were all through Britain and the British Isles as early as AD 63. The history has proven that. So we would call those churches with Baptistic beliefs that believe much the same way we do. They practiced and preached New Testament practices. And so for our purposes this morning, I'm calling them Baptists, and we'll talk about that just so you know that. But one historian was so maybe put out by what the Catholics say, and we know this name, Dr. Ironside, he said this in one of his studies. He said, Rome's most audacious theft was when they seized the Apostle Peter, and made him the putative head and founder of their system. But next to that brazen act stands her effrontery when she annexed the great missionary preacher of Ireland and enrolled him among her saints. And talking about Patrick of Ireland. So Patrick was originally named Sacathius Patricius, and he is born about 380 A.D., as far as we know. At least we know he's born between there and 387 A.D., probably near what is now Dumbarton, Scotland. And he lived, as far as we can tell, a very long life. He lived to well over 100 years old at the time of his death. We know some about him about his history, because in his writings he wrote about his father, whose name was Copernicus. He was a deacon in a church that faithfully practiced New Testament beliefs. And as I said, we know there were churches all through the British Isles at that time. Calpurnius was saved when he was on a business trip to Rome, because he was served as a Roman civil officer. And he raised his son under the Bible. But Cathcart, the Baptist historian, says that the young Patrick was wild and wicked until his 16th year. But when he was 16 years old, he was working on his father's farm, and he and several others of the workers were seized and carried away captive by a band of pirates to Ireland, where they were sold into slavery to an Irish chieftain. So for over 5 years, he suffered as a slave. But then he says, later in his writings, he says it was during this time, this very dark period of time in his life, of course, that he was converted to Christ, because he remembered and began thinking about what his father had taught him back in their home. And one of the Baptist historians says that the truth which saved him when a youthful slave in pagan Ireland was taught him in his godly home by his father. When he was 21, Patrick escaped his slave masters and returned to Scotland, only to find that his father had died and his land had been stolen by others. And it was during this time that Patrick, now a stronger Christian, the Lord called him back to Ireland to be a missionary to that blinded country. So what's interesting is God called him back to minister to these terrible people who had enslaved him. And Ireland was a very pagan society, as we'll see here in just a minute. Gerald, the Baptist historian, says that the more one studies his life and ministry in the writings of this Irish missionary, the more he stands out as a Baptist. He says, and he goes on to say, and we'll talk about this in a minute, there are many, many reasons why Patrick could not have been a Catholic priest. So at the age of 40, the amazing Patrick began his magnificent ministry on the Emerald Isle in Ireland. His mission field was wild and primitive. The people who inhabited these forests in Ireland were animist. They worshiped such things as trees and stones and walls, wells. They believed that the spirits dwelt in these idols, and they sacrificed their little children on heathen altars to appease these gods. They were wicked, pagan people. And about a year after his arrival, Patrick really was led by the Lord to do something that would change everything for Ireland and for his ministry. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica talks about this event. But evidently, and this is a little bit hard for us to understand, but there was a pagan ritual, a pagan festival in the city or the area of Tara, Ireland, which the belief was that every year, and it was done about this time of year, in the spring of every year, that something, and again, I'll have to kind of describe this to you, and understand we don't really understand what's going on here, but each of the days around this time, no fire could be kindled, all right, by the people until the royal fire had been lit. So the king of the area would light his fire, and then everybody else could light their fires. Now, you know, I don't pretend to understand exactly what that's about, but that has something to do with this ritual that they practice at this time, this pagan festival in Tara. So God led Patrick to really take on these false gods and call attention to the scripture as he challenged this royal authority. So to quote, to tell you what the historians say is, Patrick, one evening, he and his associates, they lit an entire field, a hill and a field that surrounded this royal area on fire. Now, of course, that in itself is right in the face of that pagan worship where they are, nobody's allowed to light a fire until the royals do. And he that night lit the hill on fire. I'm going to read to you what the historians say. I'm reading, quoting him. He says, "Ah, this should put iron in our blood. Glorious, audacious Patrick challenged all the forces of hell. Not a little flame did he kindle, but a bonfire. All the people were transfixed. And the king, whose name was Logair, was amazed at his daring and said, 'If we do not extinguish this flame, it will sweep all over Ireland.' This prophecy really turned true, for it seemed that the holy fire fell from the altar of heaven, and for years there was I'm reading from the historians, there were such tears of repentance as have seldom been witnessed by the angels of glory." So when all this hill was set on fire, the king was curious to see who in the world would take on the gods like this. And he wanted to find out what kind of mortal this Patrick was. And so he sent for him. And the Druid priests, they were infuriated, and they declared they would destroy the preacher by sorcery if he dared to come. But in the dim light of that morn in the year 428 A.D., this valiant hero of the cross and his assistant missionaries marched boldly into the presence of the monarch and told him that Christ was the light of the world. And they preached Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. They say that sermon that he preached was so strong that the king fell under great conviction and was born again that day. Of course, after the king believed, Patrick won and baptized multitude of thousands of people over the next 33 years. Innumerable churches, historians say, dotted the hills and valleys of Ireland from that time on. Patrick began about 365 churches. He ordained 365 pastors to lead those churches, and just an amazing story of what happened. And yet, we know some silly character known as Saint Patrick, so his, you know, modern historians are not going to tell you exactly what happened here. But so these historians, and we can't take a lot of time here, but go back and look at what Patrick believed. There's insurmountable evidence that he was a Baptist. By the writings of this great man himself, we have left several letters that he wrote to some of the churches, and encouraging them and talking about the problems they were having, much like the Apostle Paul did under inspiration. In these writings, we find that through and through, he's a Baptist. His Baptist, his convictions and positions are scriptural and very, very similar to what we believe today. One thing that historians find is he never mentioned the Catholic Church. He never talked about Mary or worshiping Mary or any kind of hierarchy where he was a bishop or a leader of some kind. He was just a missionary and started churches. That's all he felt he was. He baptized by immersion only. He believed in the same form of church government that we believed in. I won't go into a lot of detail there, but he never talked about popes or this mother church of the Catholic Church that the Catholic Church would have you believe he did. And so he only baptized professed believers, on and on. The historians go through the things that he wrote. And so I just think it's a wonderful story this morning. I can't tell the whole story. We might have a little more on the podcast as I try to put more there. But this wonderful story to know that this dear man of God, led by God, believed much like we believe, if not exactly like we believed. He believed the New Testament and practiced New Testament Baptist principles. And so I thank the Lord for this man. And maybe it's good to know, good for you to have that information when the Catholics talk about St. Patrick. Maybe you can stop somebody and say, wait a minute, do you know who that man was? Who was Patrick of Ireland? And maybe a chance to get the gospel to a Catholic or to witness to one. And so I just wanted to bring that this morning to you and talk about Patrick of Ireland.